JG3. Number 8B.
Dorley says that we have to in order to reach the world, and Dorley was hot on reaching the world. He hoped that his book on science and God would do it. But Dorley, in the quotes that Max's gave of John Dorley said, we would be stupid if we expected the world to accept Christian science the way we like it. And those are Dorley's terms. And he says that if we are to talk to the world, we can talk to it in the language of the world. The language talks about the law of self-similarity or the law of fractalization. Is that just a big fancy term? No, fractalizing, everybody uses it today that knows about laws of self-similarity or laws of self-reflection. It's something that keeps restructuring itself and changing and changing and changing is fractalizing. We need to use the terms. And Max spent quite a bit of time saying that. And so if we go back to his 1987 times, that's the authority. If we want to use the Kapler-Dorley words as authority, he quoted Dorley, and that's strong language from Dorley. Would be stupid if we think that the world is going to accept Christian science the way we like it. And was Mrs. Eddy a bore? Did she just stand still? She moved on. Max always said she was dynamic. Her words were always changing. She wanted the language of the day. And she kept changing her words and changing her words. If she wrote her textbook today, would she talk in the 19th century language? Why do we always go back to the textbook and say, some of us, I don't see that word information theory in the textbook. I don't see the word cybernetics. I don't see the word fractalization. I don't see the indication that there are other dimensions beyond just the fourth dimension of space. We know within that period they only had the symbol of the fourth dimension of space would symbolize other dimensions. And then she says we spiral higher and higher from the boundless basis and that we go on to different spiritual spheres and exalted beings. And yet, we're going to the world for these things? No, this is Mrs. Eddy. But Mrs. Eddy in the language of today, if she was here, that textbook would be totally different. Same tonality, but a different language. Saying the same thing. It's not the words that matter, it's the tonality of matter that matters. And so we can't make symbols holy. Symbol and reality evolve till we drop the symbols. But certainly if we had stayed and made the symbols of the Bible holy, we wouldn't have science. How do we build a science on light, the word of just light, or rocks, or trees, or angels, or dragons? I wouldn't know, would you? And how would we just stick to just the plain language of the textbook and build up a science? It was very exact, but the science goes forward in its terminology, in its language, and it becomes more and more refined, more and more exact, until finally we leave the symbols for reality, but the symbols evolve. And Max tells us that in his book, The Spiritual Breakthrough Through the Next Millennium, spiritual symbols are evolving. Symbols and reality are evolving over the thousand-year period, taking on higher, higher, closer abstractions until finally they just leave them for reality. Those symbols are just there to let us grab reality. We don't make a reality out of the symbol. So the language must go along with the age. It's only logical. We must speak in the language of the age that we find ourselves in. But it's divine. I always feel like with Max, if you use the term cybernetics, then he did right. He said it was divine cybernetics. It's divine information. It's divine fractalization. It's the divine law of self-similarity. It's the divine this. It's the divine that lets us know that we have taken the symbol and see it in its spiritual meaning, as they always did. Can we see? Okay. All right, so we take a break and come back this afternoon, and we finish just a little bit with the level of science itself and go on to divine science and absolute Christian science, perhaps, and then finish tomorrow. So. All right, so we begin then our spiritual journey this afternoon, or shall I say we continue on with our spiritual journey through if we can say, the galaxy of the level of science itself, and then as it eventually spirals outward and then downward. So we can see that we are dealing right now with a phenomenon of the level of science itself, and we will continue on with that experience, and then we will see, as I say, as that phenomena will spiral outward, and that same principle will spiral downward. So we have then, we were just at that point of seeing how that principle spirals. Mrs. Eddy says it is a spiraling higher and higher from a boundless basis. So we want to see what that means in according to laws. So we see that a matrix definition is a purpose. I mean, if its definition is a womb, a place or enveloping element within which something originates, takes forms, or develops. That which gives form, origin, or foundation to something enclosed or embedded in it. It's a definition. But if we see what the purpose of a matrix is, it says the word matrix denotes any ability, habit, or skill, any pattern of ordered behavior governed by a code of fixed rules. So that, I think, is quite good, that the purpose of a matrix is really a pattern which operates according to fixed rules. It's a pattern of ordered behavior. A matrix behaves. It doesn't just sit there on a page that we calculate with. It actually has a pattern of ordered behavior, which is governed by a code of fixed rules. So we're seeing how that matrix of infinity, which is the womb, the infinite self-containment, Mrs. Eddy said, it's a womb in which something develops, takes place, or originates. So everything takes place or originates within this womb of the matrix of infinity, which is what we call that matrix of the 7x7, which illustrates principle being its own infinite principle, as we've seen through the seven synonymous terms, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love being their own infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love in a self-reflection, or we could say in a self-similarity, constantly restructuring itself. That's a womb, a place where things originate. Then we'll see then, now we'll take a look at the pattern of ordered behavior, which is governed by a code of fixed rules. So therefore we are looking already at the matrix pattern of behavior. So we then have our matrix of infinity, that womb from which everything originates on the level of science itself. And we have seen now that the behavior of such a matrix is that it spirals at an exponential growth rate. Because it's spiraling, why? Because it is the laws, has within itself the laws of life, truth, and love. Yes, thank you, Gail. So we see then that this is according, as it says here, to any pattern of ordered behavior governed by a code of fixed rules. Well, the fixed rules of which it's spiraling is the law of exponential growth, that law of life. It's not just spiraling any way it wants to spiral madly out of control in a spiral that just does this kind of stuff, you know, through the universe. Those spirals are meaningful spirals. So we know then that the law of life is that law of the exponential growth, where Mrs. Eddy asked us to leave addition and get into multiplication. And into multiplication, therefore, is into an exponential growth, which grows according to a multiplying itself. And let's see how it does it. And again, we're using symbols, but it's as close as we can come to understanding what may be going on. And we always just have to leave those symbols for reality and just get the essence of what's being said and not get hung up on the symbol. It's just ways of understanding what the impact of spiritual reality on mathematics. Mathematics, that's that mental realm. It's as close. Next step is the spiritual. So it's as close to the spiritual symbols that we can get. But we see that in mathematics, we have this law of exponential growth. This has been around for quite a while, hasn't it? It's pi, we know, that is found in nature. And therefore, we studied it in school. We'll read about it. It's a spiral curve found in plant growth. It's identical to that of a seashell, a ram's horn, a pine cone, a lion's claw, a pineapple, ocean waves, galaxies in space, and so forth. This curve is identical to the logarithmic spiral found in mathematics. In the chambered nautilus shell, each chamber is approximately, and then we know from pi, it's 1.618 times larger than the next, following a natural law of exponential growth. So we know that that law of logarithmic spiral or the law of exponential growth, so that each chamber becomes 1.618 times larger as it goes this way, or you can say smaller as it spirals this way. And so it can spiral either way, from the infinitesimal, Mrs. Eddy says, to the infinite, or from the infinite down to every single point in the universe. So she talks about going from the very small, the infinitesimal, to infinity. And that is according to mathematics. Now, we see then that a matrix is a code of behavior that operates according to these laws of life, truth, and love. Therefore, we can see that this matrix of infinity really is also, we could say, in that logarithmic spiral. This is an example, but it's spiraling, and Mrs. Eddy says it's spiritual mathematics. I only want to show it insofar as the spiral is orderly. This is, even the natural physicists say, as Einstein says, God doesn't play dice with the universe. They look for the orders and patterns in the universe. And here we can see that matrix of infinity spirals down to the infinitesimal, but it will always spiral out. This is why that matrix of infinity restructures itself again, according to the laws of life, truth, and love, right down to being the structure of the chapter of prayer, doesn't it? It's that same pattern that just keeps patterning itself and patterning itself through restructuring and restructuring and restructuring, so it appears as a specific structure of a chapter of in the textbook. You see, it goes from the from infinity right down to the very infinitesimal, or from the infinitesimal right back up into infinity. And so we see then that this matrix of infinity then is that infinite principle God, which is then the fundamental law of the universe, which includes all other laws. And all of the other laws are based on this matrix, this pattern of God, this matrix of infinity. And that matrix becomes the model of our being, the model of everything that is happening, you see. So, therefore, we can see that this spiraling that is happening in being is in a binary code. We can see it operates actually outward. It goes, as she says, spirals outward from a boundless basis. And we go on to spiritual spheres in exalted being. So we can say that it spirals outward, but it also spirals downward. And today they talk about an oscillating universe. You know, the interesting thing, the impact of science on the physical sciences are getting, as we know now, so close that the scientists are converging towards what Mrs. Eddy saw. If they stay open, they'll certainly accept what we see. But they can see, then, they call it an oscillating universe, a universe that is living. They say that the universe lives, the earth lives, and all mankind lives, and it lives on a breathing out and breathing in. We know the Gaia hypothesis already that the earth is alive. It breathes out and in. Well, they say the universe does so also. It breathes out, spirals out, and it breathes in. It spirals down. It goes, as I said, from infinitesimal to infinity, and from infinity to the infinitesimal. This is just a binary code, and this, of course, as we will see, is just the Christ idea at work. It's a twofold operation. So, therefore, as we make that translation from science to divine science, we see, therefore, that this is going on. Now, if we stay on the level of science itself, and we see that our nature and God's nature is one, that in the book, for example, Evolving Hierarchical Structures, again, just taking symbols that are as close to what we see, and they see then that it's possible that there is what we call a nested hierarchy, a hierarchy that just has the wheels within wheels, like they mentioned in the Bible. That's exactly what they can see. These wheels then spiral outward. Then they also can see that there's another hierarchy called the control hierarchy. So we too can see that being operates this way. On the level of science itself, it's a nested hierarchy. It's a hierarchy within, it's not a control hierarchy that has to control something that is out of balance. It's a nested hierarchy in which principle, and we're just using this as a symbol here, that principle is being its own infinite principle. And when it does that, it spirals as wheels within wheels outward. But if it there looks like something isn't like its nature, if like can't reproduce like, if principle being its own infinite principle and it just only knows itself, according to that law of capital self-similarity or the law of self-reflection, if that law at anywhere in its holistic universe and it's restructuring every individual idea within its universe, if it can't restructure an individual component, it will immediately bring that component back to being like itself. That is what happens then in the control hierarchy. And this looks like it takes time to go from the science level to the divine science to absolute Christian science in Christian science. But to being that translation and retranslation, as we see on page 115 and 116 in the textbook, that is a simultaneous happening. This only happens downward. The downward causation only happens if principle cannot find congruency. If God can't find congruency with the universe, including earth, including all mankind, it will begin its downward flow, its control hierarchy. It's there as a control mechanism. That's how cybernetics is defined, as a science of a control system. So this being, we see then, we use that symbol as a divine cybernetics, as Max gives it to us and has used it, that as a control hierarchy, it operates on self-operating, self-regulating, error-preventing, error-correcting, mistake-friendly system. And therefore, principle only knows itself. It's only presenting what it is as an ideational universe, an ideational earth, an ideational mankind. And in thy light, we only see light. It does not know the retranslation. It can't know error. It only by its light there can be no darkness. So it looks like to the human that it goes through the retranslation from the first degree of depravity, or looking at that same, looking at the pattern of God either through a dark lens of physicality, or, and it takes it from that first degree through the second degree into the third degree. And do you need to stop?
We need the
mic. All right. We'll pick it up here. So, sorry for the break, but we needed to take a little break there. So as I was saying, that this particular transparency that we have on the overhead projector is found on page 50 in a study aid by Max Kapler. And so therefore we can see then that there is this algorithm going on in being. As I said, if principle God doesn't find something like its nature, then it goes into this kind of a binary algorithm, you could say, of infinity, where that is a control hierarchy, where the Christ idea therefore presents itself as that grand law of translation and retranslation. And its main point always is that principle God is presenting what it is as an ideational universe, an ideational earth, as an ideational all mankind, as I was saying. Now, as I mentioned then, that principle only knows itself. It only knows its infinite light. And in thy light there shall be no darkness. The light doesn't know darkness, but it makes the darkness scurry away. It only shines. And by his shining, it fills all space, and nothing is allowed to fill any other space but the all in all of God good. There is nothing going on except the light of the all in all of God good. All this translation and retranslation is going on within our consciousness, not God. God doesn't know that there's anything going on except God. But within the consciousness that has bought into the illusion or the reversal into the false categories of the second record of creation, that we can see then that when principle God shines as idea, which is an image in mind, once that idea is understood or once it is presented, it automatically then simultaneously sends the darkness away through the darkness, the first degree of depravity, the physical unreality, and it goes through the next step into the second degree of evil beliefs disappearing, the moral, the transitional. There's always a transitional between here and there. And finally, into the third degree, the higher order, the higher complexity into reality, which we call the realm of spiritual reality or the realm of understanding, where therefore the image that God presents as idea and the image that we see are one and the same image. And that was always the goal of mind being its own infinite mind, that the subject and object sees the same thing. And the retranslation has occurred. This, as I mentioned, looks like a time sense, but that's only to our relative standpoint of observation. So, therefore, we can show different ways, different symbolisms for this oscillating universe, this universe of principle that is once a nested hierarchy, and then again, perhaps and then a control hierarchy. However it wants to be symbolized, we can see that being seems to operate on a binary code then of a nested hierarchy that can spiral outward from a boundless basis, that matrix of infinity. Law of life is that a law of exponential growth that can go outward, and that same logarithmic spiral, that same law of exponential growth comes downward. Perhaps just a more colorful way of showing it. There's just a various ways. I'm just showing different ways. Doesn't matter how you graphically show it, but there is seems to be that infinite one, then that comes downward. And I'm just, for the tape audience, showing various ways of diagramming that. So we see then that this is what Mrs. Eddy says, that in Science and Health, in Genesis, the 15th chapter, she says on 519:3, deity was satisfied with his work. How could he be otherwise, since the spiritual creation was the outgrowth, the emanation of his infinite self-containment in immortal wisdom? So we see then that out of that matrix or womb of infinity, Mrs. Eddy says, everything comes forward. All spiritual creation, all principles, all law, all science, all phenomena come out of that infinite self-containment of God. The true origin of Genesis. Therefore, we know and we love that fact, just to show that we can say it any way, that out of that principle of all principles, God, comes the principle of all principles, or the science of all sciences. Therefore, that's why we love in Miscellany on page 226, line 6, she says, what are termed in common speech the principle of harmonious vibration, the principle of conservation of number in geometry, the principle of the inclined plane in mechanics and so forth, are but an effect of one universal cause, an emanation of the one divine intelligent principle that holds the earth in its orbit by evolved spiritual power, that commands the waves and the winds, that marks the sparrow's fall, and that governs all from the infinitesimal to the infinite, namely God. Withdraw God, divine principle, from man and the universe, and man and the universe would no longer exist. But annihilate matter, and man and the universe would remain a forever fat, the spiritual substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of the immortality of man and the cosmos is sustained by the intelligent divine principle, love. Beloved students, in this you learn to hallow his name, even as you value his all power, all present, all science, and depend on him for your existence. It's beautiful, isn't it? Just so to the point.